I appreciate each and every one of you. I thank the Lord all the time for allowing me to pastor this church. And I just want to be a blessing in your life. Amen. I want to do what God has called me to do, and that's equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so important. Also, what we're doing today is very important. We're having a dedication. I was trained on this family. They just keep bringing them. Amen. I was a part of a big family, and so a big family is a joy. It really is. Amen. So I grew up the oldest of 8 kids. Later, a foster brother, always having cousins over. So when I got married, I just wanted 2. Told my wife I changed enough diapers, and I did. I changed a lot. So, but we're blessed here in this church. We have a very young church, if you look around. And so we have a lot of children, and there's a lot of people following after Brandy and Glenn, having kids. Brother Rob is trying to catch up. Had to buy a minivan recently. Amen. But we decided to, since our teachers weren't getting much teaching done, we decided to go to quarterly. So if you want to have a dedication, you need to go online and sign up. Amen. But we wanted to talk today. I want to speak to you about stop the assault. Be a godly example for your kids. Folks, I'm telling you today, you need to protect your children. You need to be diligent. Come on. Next Sunday is Halloween, and you should stay as far away from it as possible. The enemy is after your children. And he likes to make everything look harmless. Oh, it's so much fun. But I'm telling you, folks, you better be careful in the spirit realm. It is a demonic system that is coming after you. Things that are going on in this world right now are demonic. You need to be, if you don't feel it, you need to be asking God to help you to feel it. And that is one of the holidays that children are so involved and so vulnerable. Okay? Is that all right if I pastor you like that a little bit? I'm telling you, folks, don't play games with the enemy. That is a demonic time. Stay away from it. In your Bibles, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child. That's telling you got to do something. Train up a child. How? In the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's that mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what it means. I was raised in this since about 4 or 5 years old. My parents were awesome. We didn't miss church. We were at church when the doors were open. I mean, very seldom did we miss church. We had to be sick out of our minds to not go. Almost delirious. My dad, he took us to church, folks. I'm telling you. Cleaning day, we were at church. Whatever it was, we were there. They trained us. They lived it. I rebelled later on in life. My dad says, took me aside, says, son, you know you're not living right. I got 7 other kids below, younger than you, that I'm trying to teach, and I'm not going to have you in this house living like that. You either get your act together, there's the door. And I walked out. And I wasn't living right. And then one day God got a hold of me. Almost could have been in a very, very bad accident from what I was doing. And I said, okay, God, you know what? That scripture right there is so true. And when he is old, if you train him up right, and when he is old, it will not depart. That means it never left here. The way I was living, I wasn't doing right, and I knew it. But it never left here. And because of that, because of where I was trained and the way I was taught, it was left here. I knew every time I was doing something wrong. And I said, okay, God. And I went back to church. I started living for God in the right way. And the rest is history. But thank God for somebody that says, you're going to live right in this home. Come on. Come on. You can be seated. Folks, never before in history has there been such a concerted, worldwide, all-out assault upon the home. We have people that are running for governor that says that parents have no right to bother to know what's or tell the teachers what they can teach in school. They're coming after your kids at younger and younger ages, folks. Amen. This is an all-out assault on the family. When you have strong families, you have strong churches. Then you have strong nations. And throughout history in the past were conditions to destroy the home life of a nation, but never before on such a worldwide compass has this taken place. The family, folks, hear me today, is the oldest institution known to man. Amen. It is coexistent with human race, and the family predates by considerable time the other institutions in humanity, human government, the school, the church. You see, there seems to be no question in the minds of thoughtful Christians that the devil has launched an all-out campaign to destroy family life. The concept is central in the demonic philosophies of communism. And the communists are trying to break down the disciplines and the unity of the home and to replace it with the dormitory, which they call the commune. And they are having considerable difficulty in this because these ties are not very strong. But nevertheless, folks, the deliberately trying to undermine the basis of home. And even in America, we find these destructive forces powerfully at work. Home, folks, used to be a place where you hang your hat, and now it has become a place where you hang your head. You see, the dysfunctional home, and folks, it is closer than you think. Amen. Even sometimes when people call themselves Christians, I want you to understand the dysfunctional home is so prevalent today and is now founded in many homes in America. It may probably the majority, but even in Christian homes, unhappy conditions prevail. Go ahead, get quiet. I'll park right here for a minute. I said, even in Christian homes, unhappy conditions prevail. Often a spirit of anarchy, a spirit of rebellion enters the home, and there is fighting and shouting and physical attack. The atmosphere is often one of nervous tension, or at best, an armed truce. All of this, folks, we must recognize is part of satanic strategy, to a deliberately planned attack to destroy what has been one of the bulwarks of morality and religion and faith, the atmosphere of a home. An attack like this calls for an intelligent counterattack. We could sit passively by, and many times, folks, the church has done that, and that's one of the reasons why we're in the situation we are. But we cannot sit passively by and allow our homes to be destroyed, as they certainly will be, unless there is a counterattack, folks. But we must also recognize that the weapons that we employ must not be the weapons of the world. You see, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Come on. They are not fleshly. They are not the usual means the world employs, but they are, folks, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Folks, it's not by that means, the flesh and blood. We shall win, not by the usual methods of the world. What are the world uses? Psychiatric counseling, police supervision, new legislation. These things have their place, don't get me wrong. But they are not the weapons that will win the battle. No, this calls us to return to the wisdom of God and an understanding, folks, hear me today, to the wisdom of God and an understanding of God's principles for your home. Oh, you thought I was going to say for your church, didn't you? I'm saying for your home. You need leadership in your home. Come on. Husbands, if you're here today, you need to lead your home. Come on. If you don't have the husband to save, mother, lead your home. Well, I can't because lead your home. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. You see, if we come back to these, we shall discover weapons of mighty power that counteract the strong forces that are at work to undermine and to destroy our homes. You see, as a parent, you have a huge influence. Parents, hear me today. As a parent, you have a huge influence in your children's life. For at least 18 years, they will watch you, they will listen to you, and they will emulate you. Parents are the number one influence in their children's life. And you're sitting there saying, Pastor, you're wrong. I'm telling you, I'll show you. You see, parents don't always believe this. In a parent-empowered survey, parents placed themselves last in a lineup of influences on their children. What a shame. You can go online, look at parentsempowered.com. Parents placed themselves in a survey there. They said, we're the last in the lineup of influence in their children's life. After their friends, after the school teachers, and after the media. Whose fault is that? I'm telling you, if you think that kind of stuff, you think you don't have that much influence, then you need to get yourself in the book, in the Word of God, and find out how you should influence them. Because, see, there's persuasive ways. But when the youth, the same group, gave a survey to youth, they answered the same question. And you know what they said? They placed their parents first before family, friends, teachers, activities, and clubs. Research shows that there are three things parents can do to protect their children from risky behaviors. I hope you're listening, parents. There's three things this survey said, research shows, that you can do. Bonding time, boundaries. Well, you don't give children boundaries. Bonding time, boundaries, and here it goes. This is where some lack because they're lazy. Monitoring. Yeah. monitoring. Somebody said to my wife one time, if I whooped my kids for every little thing they did, I'd never get anything done. Because she saw, they saw her constantly correcting her kids. No, you don't do that. No. You know, no, get away from there. My wife said, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. If you want to let them go off and just run in the room or let TV babysit them, then you're going to get what you get. Well, it's awful quiet in here. Come on. The stronger the relationship between parents and their children, the more the child will not want to disappoint mom and dad. Eating dinner together as a family has a significant impact on protecting children from risky behavior. Because there is a family togetherness when you're eating dinner together. There is a family discussion. We would eat dinner all the time. And once in a while we'd go to a youth rally and we're running late and let's just grab something on the way. And my kids are, we're not having family dinner. We'll do it tomorrow night. But right now we don't have time. Oh, I kid you not. That's how they acted all the time. If we didn't have sit down time for family. Because what is it? You sit down. How was your day? What happened? You know, all these kind of things, all these questions. We talked. And it was a great time. But you must have, it brings togetherness. It brings discussion. I knew people that would fix their children's plates and set them in at the table, and they would get their plates, the parents would, and go sit down in front of the TV. And when you'd see kids eat, they were like slobs because they didn't teach them how to eat. They'd grab chips and crumble them in their mouth and fall all over the place. I'm telling you, folks, it's important to have that time. Listening to children without preaching strengthens a bond. You need time to listen to them. Let them talk. But see, what happens is a lot of times that kind of stuff talk, you know, when you're mad at each other because of something they did and they try to talk to you, then you're so mad you don't want to listen. But if you listen on times when you're not mad, when you're not upset, listening to children without preaching strengthens the bond. Also, another thing is working together and playing together create family closeness. See, boundaries are set when parents set clear family rules on behavior. Hear me, parents. Boundaries are set when parents set clear family rules on behavior. Make sure they understand. Such as no alcohol, no drugs. When they're younger, you don't have to worry about that. I hope not. But you still need to have boundaries. You don't go out here. You don't play in this. You don't do this. You don't go over there. You don't do this. Stay out of that. But here's the problem. A lot of times, when they set these boundaries, they don't enforce them. When you don't enforce your boundaries, you're teaching them something. And then don't get upset when they get older and don't want to listen. Come on. So set your boundaries, make sure they understand them, and enforce them. A smaller percentage of teens will try to break these rules if the parent make it very clear, very concise, consequences follows through with those consequences. When you set boundaries and you follow through, if they break the boundaries, they break the rules, you're in trouble. Now, you can't do this when you try to be their friend. Let me tell you something, folks. Kids don't need another friend. They need a parent. I'll say it again. Kids don't need you to be their friend. They need you to be their parent. Come on. And when they break a rule, you need to follow through with it. So, you got to be clear. And here, you know what I would tell my boys? You know what? You know whose fault this is? That I'm spanking you. It ain't my fault. I didn't break the rule. You knew the rules. If you let them get away with it, what are you teaching them? That when they go to work, they don't have to follow the rules. Then they get fired. Then you're all upset. Oh, Susie got fired. Whose fault is that? You taught them they don't need to follow the rules. I'll tell you what, folks. Any adults here realize you can just go out here? Is anybody here think you can just go do whatever you want anytime you want? Any adults? Can you just drive 75 down Fulton Avenue? Anybody? Why? It's a rule. And you don't want to get the consequences. Huh? Come on, you set your trash out at a certain time because if you set it out at the wrong time, you get a ticket. You follow rules. Well, what makes us think we can let our kids get away without following rules? Well, I don't want to spank them. Well, the Bible tells you to. The Word of God tells you to. See, a much-needed parental task that tends to drop as the children become teens is monitoring. Well, I don't have to watch them as much. Why not? I could walk in anytime I want, look on the computer. I could go through their drawers anytime I want, find it, if I had anything I wanted. It's my house. I don't go to their house. Now they only have their own. I don't go to their house, go through their stuff. That's their house. But when they live in my house, my rules. If I want to look at your phone, give it here right now. I made them pay for it. I didn't buy their phones. I made them pay for their own. But they're in my house, and I'll look at it anytime I want. Or I'll smash it. I promise you, and they know it. We have to monitor them. Okay? BYU. In 2014, came out with the results of a study showing that the best kind of parenting to protect youth is warm and with follow through, with a warmthness. They need to know you love them, but you follow through with what you told them. Okay? You monitor. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to be watching you. You're not going to do whatever you want. Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? In other words, check on your kids. Trust, Ronald Reagan said it best, trust but verify. Trust but verify. Check on their social media, their phones, if they have one. Okay? They had to be a certain age before they got one. And when they go somewhere, where are you going? Why? Ask questions. Where are you going? Who are you going with? They shouldn't be coming to tell you anyways that they're going to go with so-and-so. They should say, do you mind if I go with so-and-so? Come on. When will you be home? Or you could say, you will be home at this time. That's my kind of saying. And then some parents feel need to ask, will there be alcohol and drugs? I never had to ask that because they knew better. Okay? Have consequences when the rules are broken. There are plenty, folks, there are plenty of dangerous activities kids can get into these days. Plenty. It is helpful for kids who have a hard time saying no to their friends to be able to do something. Okay? And I tell this to you, some of you folks here, and if you're leading something, if you have an issue, I say, blame it on me. I got big shoulders, okay? But it's helpful you tell your kids, you can say this to your friends. Give them permission to say this. No way am I doing that. If I did that, my parents would kill me. Give them permission to say that. Okay? This is all right. Now, you guys know I have funds on these days. I'm telling you biblical, and I'm preaching it like I lived it. All right? But I like to have fun. Teens need parental closeness. They need guidance and monitoring just as much or more as your younger children. And the example that you set for your children is critical because each day you are modeling behavioral expectations for who? For your children, for your neighbors, for your coworkers. Okay? Folks, we don't just live any way we want if we want to be an example. As much as we would like them to do as I say and not as I do, that just isn't going to happen. Amen? It is simply, folks, it simply doesn't work when it comes to effective parenting. And no matter how often parents might wish it was true, they are going to do what you do. Your children are going to do what you do. Come on, folks. You go to Amish country and or any of these little places and you see these little signs, you know, I can't believe I'm just like mom or something like that. You know, there's a time that they fight hard not to act like mom or dad, but they end up like it. My wife's got a mirror in the bathroom off the dining room. It says something about, I can't believe I'm just like my mother. Oh no, I've become my mother. That's what it says. And I have to remind her sometimes. Just like your mother. And she tells me about my dad or my mom. Research shows that kids tend to imitate their parents' behavior and continue to do so throughout adulthood. And without really even trying, every day you are setting an example for your children to follow. Generally, the reality that the example that you set plays such a strong role in determining your children's behavior is a good thing. And by watching you, hear me today, parents, by watching you, they learn. What do they learn? Responsibility or the lack of responsibility? Honesty or the lack of? Diligence? Walking in love, good physical habits, healthy attitudes, right behavior, and following God. Children are always watching us. Always watching us. They always want to know how we're going to handle a situation. They always watch. How are you going to handle? You know, the neighbor makes you mad. The kids are watching. How are you going to handle it? Your boss makes you mad. Your kids are watching. How are you going to handle it? They make you mad, and they're watching how you're going to handle it. Come on. They're watching you, folks. It's important that you use this influence to help guide your children on a path toward godly living. Come on. They need you to guide them and to set the right examples. You see, when you do this, we experienced some things with our boys on certain things after they were of age and they were starting to make some decisions. We didn't want to be that one. You're not doing this. Blah, 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 blah. They were of age by now. So you know what we did? Got on our knees. God, you know what we put in them. You know what we've instilled in them. The godly examples, godly lessons, teachings, all these kind of things. You know. And you said in your word, you promised if we will train up our child in the way it should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. And our prayers prevailed. And what we put into them prevailed. That's what God does for you, folks, if you do it the right way. But don't sit there and try and just let things slide because you don't want to put the effort in it. And you're afraid of what others will say. And you're afraid of what others will think. And then when things come along, say, God, help me. What did you put in them? There are things you can do to set the right examples for your children to follow. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. Now these are the commandments. It didn't say suggestions. It said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you. Commanded to teach you. That ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That means respect him. Amen. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I have commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life. And that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. That don't leave any room. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them occasionally, every now and then, that thou may teach them diligently. Anybody ever do anything diligently? Huh? You know, you're playing a game, and you're playing with everything within you, and you got somebody over there like, you know, volleyball. I mean, it was right to him. Why did he hit that? Because you would have hit it diligently. Come on, you know what I mean? Diligently. Well, let me tell you something. I believe these verses, and I live by them. And when I see people who are not diligent in teaching their children, I'm like, God, get a hold of them. When I see that, parents, I'm telling you, when I see you not doing the things, I ask God to convict you. See, it's amazing when they don't want, and I'll get back to that scripture. It's amazing when they don't want to be diligent and they don't want to do the things God says every day. Pastor, my children are this, my children are that. I better go on. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house. Do you talk to your children? Or do they watch TV or on their phone all day? And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Folks, every minute of the day, you better be teaching your children. Because you are. You are. Whether you're speaking it or living it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not. What's God saying? Look, I'm going to take you somewhere, but you got a job to do. Amen. I'm going to give you things that you didn't build. Amen. And houses full of good things, which thou filledest not. I'm going to give you things. God wants to bless you, folks. And he's going to give you wells you didn't dig, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. What's God saying here? You have a job to do. I want to bless you. But when I bless you, you better continue to do the things I ask you to do. You better teach your children where I brought you from. Because I'm going to give you blessings, houses you didn't build, houses full of stuff you didn't fill. I'm going to give you wells you didn't dig. I'm going to give you olive trees you didn't plant. In other words, he's going to bless you, but you still better be faithful. Come on, how often have you seen people come into church, their lives are wrecked, and God starts blessing them, and all of a sudden they forget where it all came from. I don't need this. Well, listen. We see those kind of people. What about people who are lax at home? And expect the pastor, the teacher, Sunday school teacher to teach their children. Well, that's, you know what that's for? That's just to assist you. It's your job that they believe what you believe. You see, I believe this. If I believe the way I'm living is going to get me to heaven, I surely want my kids to go with me. You know, this stuff. Well, I'll just let them choose when they get old enough to choose what church they want to go to. Are you out of your mind? Oh, don't get quiet on me. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'll make them go to a good school. I'll make them go to a good college. But I don't want them to go to a good church. Let them pick. Really? See, in times of trouble, folks, right, Brother Greg? In times of trouble, you got to keep believing. Come on. I hate to tell you this. Okay, here we go, folks. But troubled times, if they haven't already come, and even if they have come, they'll come again. They will come again for you and your family. And the trials of life come to everyone. Every family will at some point have to endure troubled times. Whether a death or illness or financial hardship or tough times happen. And when they do, it falls on us as parents to help our children navigate stormy weather. But one of the greatest life lessons that you can teach your children is what we do when trouble comes. Because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If there's trouble right now, God knows how to work all things out. He knows how to work things for the good. And folks, his word is our guide. Show your kids that when trouble comes, we go to the word and we keep believing. Come on. Folks, when my kids were little, I remember times walking up and somebody had set groceries on our porch because we didn't have money, folks. I'm telling you. And what I did, look here, boys. This is God. Mommy and Daddy don't have money right now. And God, we've been praying. And look what God did. Help us carry these in the house. When I kept going down to the fuel oil tank and sticking that stick in, and it's below where I know where they told me when I rented a house, when you get to this line, you're done. And for weeks, I'd go down and stick that in, but the fuel oil furnace kept running. And I go down another day, stick that in, and the fuel oil furnace kept running. And all of a sudden, one day, a truck backs up to my house and starts dumping fuel into my house, folks. And I said, look here, boys, that's God. That's what God does, folks. He will bless you. He will help you. But you got to do the right thing. Show your kids what to do. Make sure you're in church no matter what, folks. As a parent, you have a very important purpose in life of your child. You are there to teach them right from wrong, provide for them, and lay a foundation in their life. Amen. I'm going to live this way because I saw what God did for mom and dad. I saw how God kept them through hard times. Amen. I saw how God blessed their lives. And most importantly, your job is to lead your children to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's your job. That's your most important job. I've seen people take their kids, never miss a ball game. I don't care how they felt. Never miss a ball game, but they miss church all the time. Psalms 127 and 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. When God blesses you with a child, He expects you to do what He tells you to do. And if you don't do it, He will hold you responsible. The word heritage in this verse could be translated as gift. So another way to say it is children are a gift from God. What a great privilege it is to have children. Amen? I will tell you something else. Kids need their parents. Kids need their parents to nurture them and point them to Jesus Christ. It is your job as mom and dad to train your children and to bring them up in the way of the Lord. Kids don't need mom and dad to be their best friends. They need you to be their parent. Be a parent. Be an example. Friends come and go, but parents are for life. Remember, teaching your children is a daily thing. It is a lifestyle. The best thing a man can do for his kids is love his wife. The best thing. The best thing a woman can do for her children is to love the husband and honor him. Show your children what real love looks like. And live a godly life. Your children should be able to measure their relationship with God according to their relationship with you. Oh, it got quiet. I'll say it again. Your children should be able to measure their relationship with God according to their relationship with you. If you are a parent, ask God for His help to be the best parent you can be. Amen? Now, studies show that children who go to church on a regular basis turn out better. Going to church doesn't save us. But I have known people that claim to be Christians who don't go, and their lives don't go very well. Hebrews 10:25 says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another and be all the more as you see the day approaching. What day are we talking about? The rapture. You think it's close? I do. You need to pay tithes and offerings. This not only blesses your family, it guarantees the windows of heaven open to you. But it is vital example to set for your children. If they grew up thinking that giving tithes and offerings is normal, it will never be hard for them. Malachi 3:8-11. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I, He's saying, if you'll do this, if you'll pay your tithes and offerings, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, folks, we paid tithes and offerings, and that's why we could walk up and see God put groceries at our doorstep, and we could say to our kids, that's God. That's why we could see a fuel oil truck ride up when we didn't have the money, amen, but that's God. I will rebuke the devourer for thee. You'll need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Okay? James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It is a great advice, or what? Come on. It's great advice. If we act the way every day, we, without fail, in our homes, in our car, on the job, at church, our relationship would flourish. And what a great example to set for your children. Don't ever quit. Perseverance is vital quality for success in life. Even when things are hard, you keep going. Be determined to persevere no matter what comes your way. Set your face like a flint. In Isaiah 50 verse 7, for the God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, that scripture says. It's like steel. Or adamant stone, as some render it, hardened against all opposition, result undernodded. And goes on and on and on. You're determined. This is what I'm going to do. Even if everyone around you is dropping like flies, you be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Quick like men and be strong. Hear me, folks. Jesus has already bought and paid for your victory. He's done it. You only lose it if you quit. What a great example you can set for your children. It doesn't matter what comes, we're going through. We're going to make it. We're going to get there. And we're going to be victorious. We're going to get out of this mess. Yeah, we're in something right now. I don't like it any more than you do. But we're going to make it. Amen. We're going to get there.